isn't it? You seem to be quiet, quiet and calm. So what is that? Therefore, it's a manasam karma, it's a mental activity. And what about fullness? So that's why in time-bound activity, any action is time-bound. Meditation also is a mental action, it's time-bound in nature. So it can only produce what? Time-bound result. Time-bound peace. Not everlasting peace. Because fullness is everlasting peace. And fullness is cannot be the product of an action. Result of an action. Because fullness is very nature. Fullness is eternal. Time-bound action cannot produce timelessness is fullness. That is why meditation is useful. Meditation also is one of the activities which you do to keep you going, to keep you in good humor. But there's no such thing called, I'm not saying meditation is useless, but it is not a solution for everlasting peace. Because fullness is not to be gained as a fruit of an action. It is very swarupam, which has to be understood first, understood, then owned up. You have to own it. Owning it means you have to know swarupam, fullness being the very swarupam. That even that very language, owning up, become very clear later on. That is the big difference. That is why in the Shastra class what happens? Actually, the Shastra class itself takes care of the being. Just being with the Vastu. Being with the reality. The more you understand, the more you are with that. That's such a big difference, isn't it? Anyway, so it's 3:30 now. Should we start the class? Just a class anyway.
She'll be talking about owning it.
Yeah. The owning means you can't just own something. You can't say, no, I'm rich, simply. Even though it's a fact. By simply saying I'm rich, which is a fact. By simply saying I'm rich will not really make me rich. I should know the fact how I'm rich. It's a fact. I'm rich is a fact. But I should know, and then I should. My knowing is owning it, owning up the fact. I'm rich. Somebody, otherwise, I think I'm poor, and somebody comes and tells me I'm rich, and the other person also proves it's a fact. So it's a fact that I'm rich. Okay? But I think I'm poor. I think I'm poor. Actually, I'm fact. I'm rich. But other person says I'm fat. It's a fact. So I'm rich. I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich. If I simply tell myself, that won't make me rich. When I say it, I don't need to say it to say it. My understanding, my knowing, recognizing is what? Owning.
Yeah. In the commentary to the verse we're looking at on Thursday morning, Swamiji says, you know, we with the sunrise, it appears that the sun's rising. That's the appearance, but you know that the sun isn't rising. The earth's going round. And sometimes you know something, but it doesn't seem, the experience is different to the knowledge. But if you really know it, is that something to do with owning it?
It's more like, yeah, it's more recognizing the Swarupam, isn't it? I did a text called Upadesha Saranam, there I explained a little bit. Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha. So, you know?
Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha.
Karma Yoga Nama.
Karma Yoga Nama.
Tritiyodhyayaha. So this third chapter itself is entitled as Karma Yoga. Yogaha, as I told you already, when it comes used as a title of the chapter, Yogaha is nothing. Yogaha means the title, subject matter. So karma is the subject matter of the third chapter. Therefore it is said to be what? Karma Yoga. All about karma is going to discuss. And in this, how this topic is discussed here in the third chapter, it is, the chapter begins with the question by Arjuna. I think we stopped there, no? We did 3 verses or 2 verses?
3 verses,
okay. So we started with the question, Arjuna asked the question. Why Arjuna asked the question? Because what he came to know very clearly, the whole of second chapter Arjuna heard. And main topics were discussed in third chapter. Three topics, the whole subject, second chapter had 3 topics, main topics discussed. Topic 1 was Atma Surupa Lakshanam, definition of the self. What exactly is the self? When you say what exactly is the self, it says that in fact self is, how self is the, self means the self of all the beings. Self is the only secondless non-dual reality. And that self happens to be the only secondless non-dual reality. And self is beginningless, endless. It is not born. It is subject to birth and death, subject to change, etc. And self is, self is satyam, and everything other than self is mithya. Self is anatma. Self is atma. Everything is other than self is anatma. Anatma is mithya. Atma alone is satyam. And asatya atma is not mithya anatma, but mithya anatma is nothing but satya atma. Isn't it? So, but only individual is discussed there. Even though individual is discussed, but the truth of the individual, the truth of the body, the truth of the entire individual means what? Without which this body, this mind, these sense powers, these pranas, all of them have no meaning. Cannot exist. They become inert. So that reality of this body, mind and complex, this individual also is what? The same is said to be the self. And that reality, the self of the individual, is in fact the reality with reference, the self of the entire cosmos, really speaking. So that if you, it's enough, even if the reality of the individual is analyzed, it is the reality of the whole universe is as well analyzed and understood. So at first he talks about the Atma Surupa Lakshanam. Because the individual means we do not even have the thorough knowledge of an individual. What do we mean by individual? We do not know. Isn't it? For us, individual means just somebody with some weight, some influence and some powers. That's all. And we do, I mean, so this really individual does not mean just the gross body which is perceptible for all the beings. But in fact, it also, there are subtle factors which indwell the gross body, which is sukshma, which is said to be subtle body. Even though it has no form, because it indwells the gross, said to be subtle. And that itself is not subject to any description. Look at this. Even subtle factors are also not subject to any description. That is the beauty. Subtle personality, isn't it? The gross personality becomes useless and becomes dead, actionless, functionless and dead, inert, when the subtle personality leaves. So the subtle personality itself is not object to death, cannot be destroyed. And there, even that is also in fact anatma only, because subtle or gross, everything is material in nature, material products. So objects of knowledge. Therefore, this all we think. And the subtle personality or gross personality really cannot exist independent of the reality. And that is the person. That is what we say, the reality, which is implied by, suppose we say H2O is implied by wave, the word wave. That is what is implied actually. The I, in fact, indicates I implies what actually? What is the implied meaning of I is awareness, the reality, isn't it? That reality part of the individual is not known. Individual means minus individual does not make, any one part doesn't make individual. Awareness alone does not make individual. And the physical body does not make an individual. Huddled body does not make an individual. Awareness, gross personality, huddled personality, all of them together constitute an individual. But we take now, it's like taking one part and saying, this is what is individual. That is why somebody asks now, which is elephant? One blind person comes, holding on to the leg. Leg alone is the elephant. Of course, without leg, there is no elephant. But leg alone does not make an elephant. No, this trunk alone does not make an elephant. But with the trunk, there is no elephant. Trunk also is elephant. Leg also is an elephant. Isn't it? Not one part does not make an elephant. But all the parts put together, not cut in separate parts, okay, put together intelligently, placed properly, with the life. Even not a dead animal. This life, all the pranas and all that inside, huddle factors. Not just the dead animal. Elephant, isn't it? Then you can say dead elephant. When you say elephant is alive, when you say, it also means huddle factors inside the elephant, which you don't see but you understand. The elephant breathes, elephant eats, elephant digests, elephant reproduces. Isn't it? All subtle factors are functioning. So not till that term, similarly here also, individual means what? Not just the gross body, not just the subtle body, but not even these two. Something more than that, isn't it? That part of the individual, the truth of the individual, we do not know. The truth of the individual is known means the truth of the entire cosmos is as well known. That is why the second chapter, first and initially, it begins with what? The unfoldment of the nature of the self. Self is what? The reality implied by I. The content of the I. What exactly is I is? When you say wave is a name and form, but exactly the name and form wave is nothing but H2O. Like that, I is a thought. Actually, I exactly, isn't it? Actually, I is what? The reality, that is, we not know. So that is what Krishna started teaching, actually. That reality, and actually the content of I, is object to any destruction. The main thing it says, there is no such thing. What when he talks about Atma and Anatma? Let us not take the whole Jagat as Anatma now. Anatma is any object of knowledge is Anatma. Any object of knowledge is Anatma. When you say any object of knowledge is Anatma, means what? Any object of knowledge, which is Anatma, is definitely material in nature. It's a material product. Understand now? An object of knowledge is material in nature. Even object of knowledge means what? The whole Jagat is object of knowledge. The whole Jagat is Anatma only. Non-self only. The whole Jagat is non-self. The whole Jagat is object of knowledge, isn't it? The whole universe is nothing but constituent of varieties of objects. Vishnu Sahasrama, the first word, very beautifully says, Videhi Pratyehi Gamyam Iti Vishwam. What is this universe? Universe is nothing but constituent of varieties of objects, indicated by many names. Look at this simple word. Constituent of various objects, indicated by different words. Is what? Vishwam. His name of the Lord Vishnu. First word of Vishnu is Vishwam. Universe is the Lord, name of the Lord. Isn't it? They mean objects. So all the objects are what now? Material product. So object is what? Any object known is what? Anatma. So in this universe, what you have to include is what? Your own physical body, your mind, your senses, your pranas, your sense powers, your powers, organs of actions, your thoughts, which constitute the mind, which is inclusive of the I, the knowledge I am. Isn't it? I am is knowledge, which is also a thought. It's also object of knowledge. Because in deep sleep, that thought is not there. Thought be not, there is known. Well, I am also is a thought, which is also object of knowledge. So, empty thing is anatma, but not only an anatma, this individual body mind complex also is included in anatma. So, anatma is object of knowledge. Object of knowledge is knowledge is material in nature. Isn't it? That means if object of knowledge is material in nature, and it is anatma, for the object of knowledge to have status of being existent, you know, it's dependent on what? The knower. So who this knower is? Isn't it? Who this knower is? So knower with reference to an individual is I. Knower with reference to every individual is who? I. So knower is, what knower is? Who is this knower? What this knower is? Who this knower is? The knower with reference to every individual is I means, what this I is then? Don't ask, I'm not telling you what I am, okay? What this I is? I or I am is just a thought, isn't it? And we say all other thoughts are centered on this thought, I thought. The thought I am is not there, no other thought is possible. No other thought is possible means no sense powers will be functioning. Then no perception is possible, no jagat will be existent. Isn't it? All the world of objects, look at this. All the world of objects, which is inclusive of subtle and gross, now aspects of the individual also, they're all centered on one thought, which is I thought, and that I, what is I is. If you see, then you'll know who this knower is. I thought also is object of knowledge. Therefore, that I thought being not there, I thought being there is known because of the presence of something that is what is the reality, that is what is the self, that is what is the awareness. There is no other knower. So you arrive at it. And that awareness is said to be what now? The Atma. Why? That is of the nature of all pervasiveness. So the self, the knower, which is arrived at as this knower, isn't it? Is the what now? There's no beginning, no end, na jayate, na mriyate, va kadachit, ajaha, nityaha, shashvataha, no? Ajo nitya shashvato yam purana, na hanyate, hanyamane, sharire. It is not destroyed at all forever. So there it makes it very clear, come on, it's only Atma, Anatma. Reduce everything into what now? Atma, Anatma. Atma is one indestructible, one indivisible partless whole, which is the self, which you have arrived as I, the meaning of I, as the knower. And Atma, then he says, Anatma is what now? Everything else. And he says, there's no such thing called total destruction at all. Abhikrama nashana, there's a total nashaha, is not there at all for anything. Matter also is not destroyed. Atma is not destroyed, anatma also is not destroyed. But there's change on the part of anatma. There's no change on the part of atma. There's a change is on the part of anatma. But there's no change on the part of atma. Therefore, what the change which is inevitable, which is on the part of anatma, is said to be what? Relative destruction. Understand? Like what? When the body, dehinaha asmin dehe, yada, no? When the body, first it is kaumaram, then yavanam, then jara, it is boyhood, then childhood, the childhood, boyhood, then youth, then old age, the different stages. Death of one stage is the birth of another stage. Through all these stages, isn't it? Such a matter changes. You can't anything you do about it. It's the nature of the matter. Isn't it? So this change is what now is said to be. In fact, when the sukshma leaves the body, it takes another body also like that. So sukshma does continue, survives death. When the sukshma leaves, and so stola becomes disintegrated. Mm. It only becomes disintegrated. There's not really death. Change takes place on the part of the physical body in terms of in the form of disintegration. It's said to be the death. The death is actually a big change. Isn't it? Mm. The change. Mm. So the body will continue to be still there as minerals, as food for plants. Again, plants become food for other animals. So that what now? It continues to exist in some form or the other. Therefore, there is no such thing called total destruction even of material products. That's why matter is not created, matter is not destroyed also. And what happens to the Atma? So this is what with the matter means. What about the Atma? Atma is not subject to relative destruction also. Anatma is subject to relative destruction, which is only a change. There is no such thing called total destruction. There is only relative destruction for the Anatma, which is material nature, when it continues to exist, and there is no such, there is no relative destruction also for the Atma. Atma is not subject to any destruction at all. Isn't it? Not we studied. Na jayate, na mriyate, ajaha, shashvataha, sarvagataha. Isn't it? Why? Because there is no second reality other than Atma. Atma and Anatma. Anatma is mithya, Atma is satyam. Atma is not a second, Anatma is not a second entity which can bring about any destruction to Atma. Isn't it? Which is dependent on Atma for its existence, Anatma. How can Anatma destroy Atma? No. Anatma is nothing but Atma. Therefore, Atma also cannot destroy Anatma. There are two things now for one to be destroyed by the other. Atma happens to be the one indivisible part of soul. It is what now? We say it is not subject to any destruction at all. That is why it is eternal. So it's all talking about the nature of the self in the first, you know, till the 30th verse. And afterwards, the main topic comes, the karma is started, it is discussed, and there karma yoga is given in a nutshell. Why then the need for the what is karma yoga is explained, second topic. The third topic was, and who is a jnani? See, in discussing about the jnani, it is made very clear, you know, the absence of peace is in fact the mental disturbance, the mental turbulence, restlessness, agitation, you know, in the form of any thought, for example, any disturbance is what now? Any pain, you know, jealousy, hatred, anger, desire, all of the disturbances caused by these things, negative tendencies, all those things, you know. All this mental turbulence is due to what? No? The turbulence is, there's no peace. Mm. Isn't it? Mm. Turbulence is no peace means what? Turbulence is there. That is due to, why this is there? It's all because of lack of fullness. Lack of fullness is what now? Turbulence. Fullness is peace. Fullness is peace. Turbulence is disturbance. I mean, the lack of fullness is turbulence. Isn't it? That's all. So, what is fullness to be something to be attained? No. Something to be discovered. How do you discover? Discovering the self is what? Discovering the truth of the individual, the self. Discovery of Atma, the truth of individual, is what? Discovery of the truth of an individual as the meaning of I. Is what? Discovery of fullness. Because Atma and fullness are not two different things. Atma is fullness, fullness is Atma. Not two different things. I told you last class also. Atma means all pervasive, that which is that pervades everything. Reality. Atma pervades everything means when you say the reality pervades everything. Isn't it? Atma does not need to do anything to, like water does not need to do anything to fill the ocean, to be full of ocean. So being full is fullness with, you know, the H2O is the fullness with reference to ocean. Similarly, Atma, the awareness, is fullness with reference to the whole universe. Isn't it? That's intrinsic, thing. So also we say that is why Atma and fullness are one and the same. They are two different things. Therefore, discovering Atma is discovering what the Atma is, what the Self is. You know, the truth of the individual is what? Discovering fullness. Discovering fullness is what? Being full. Reveling in fullness, which is peace. Therefore, the whole thing, Jnani's mind, all the verses describe a Jnani saying, Jnani is the one who remains the same. Mana pamana yoho. Nashita oshnano. What in all situations Jnani remains the same. Nothing goes and shakes, disturbs his easiness. How is it possible for him to be like that? Because that means what? Not disturbed means what? There's no anger comes, nothing is irritated. Jnani is free from irritability, isn't it? Not irritated. Ignores. Isn't it? And that doesn't mean that Jnani is a stone. He doesn't respond to anything. Isn't it? Ignoring is different from being naive or being inert. So here, he's not disturbed by anything. That is because the Jnani is the one who revels in fullness, one who is not dependent on anything external for his fullness and happiness. Because one who knows fullness as the very Swarupam. It's all description of a Jnani, all the verses from 54 to 72 in Bhagavad Gita we saw, Jnani is described, and very beautiful verses. Why it is described? Again, it is connected for us. When you describe a Jnani, it is very made very clear, okay? The mental disturbance, the turbulence due to lack of peace is due to lack of fullness. The lack of fullness is not because fullness is not knowing what fullness is. Isn't it? Lack of fullness is not ignorance of fullness. Is lack of fullness. Lack of fullness is what now? Lack of peace. Lack of peace implies what? Being disturbed, agitated, and then all. So that's what it is. And for a Jnani, fullness is very self. Very self means what? The reality, the truth, wherein his identity is resolved. So that is what a Jnani lecture, the third topic, discussed very clearly. So when he said all these things, Krishna said, oh, and Arjuna picks up a doubt. Now we come to third chapter, okay? I just want to sum up fast. Was it okay for you? Just quickly, I want to give certain things. Even though I didn't do very elaborate summing up of second chapter, I gave some nutshell. So third chapter begins with the question, very question is Arjuna now jumps and says, so it is made very clear, what is this? Atma, knowledge of the self is knowledge of what fullness is. Knowledge of fullness, what fullness is reveling in fullness. Reveling in fullness is what? Being peaceful. Okay, being free from disturbances. Being freedom from unhappiness. Freedom from sorrow. Isn't it? Freedom from all thoughts, in fact. Not being bound by thoughts. Not being bound by thoughts, limited by thoughts is what? Being free from sorrow also. Therefore, your knowledge of the self is only means for that. Knowledge of self is knowledge of happiness means. Then, and you also say, one has to do karma and all these things. Okay? And Krishna, you asked me to do karma. Uttishta, you know, klaibhyam masmagamaha partha. This doesn't befit you, Arjuna. Come on, get up and fight. You ask me to fight. You ask me to do my duty here. But you also say knowledge is, it is absence of knowledge. It's lack of knowledge of what happiness is, you know, responsible for my unhappiness. Okay? And I want to be happy. I want freedom from unhappiness. Isn't it? Then why your answer really is, what you tell me sounds contradictory. Knowledge of self alone will free you from unhappiness. Come on, Arjuna, get up and do your duty now. We say, what you should tell me? Not yourself alone is only means for moksha, for freedom from unhappiness. Then go and pursue knowledge. You shouldn't tell that, go and act. Go and do your duty, you shouldn't tell that. So when you say this, you sound contradictory. You don't sound contradictory, you seem to be confusing me. I am confused, you should say that openly, okay? I am confused about what you are saying. Then why do you ask me to do this karma? Not even any good karma, okay? This act of fighting against this, no? Really participating in a battle, and then killing, which involves killing and bloodshed and all that, such a cruel, ghora karma. Why do you ask me to do this? That is what Arjuna's question, because many of us will think. Immediately when we understand, my God, moksha is a choiceless end, moksha is nothing but discovery of what happiness is, so happiness is already there, you don't need to do anything, all that you need to do is to just discover it. No, knowledge is the only means. Go, attend meditation classes, do meditation, immediately discover. That is what we will think. That is why Krishna has to say here, okay, the whole chapter on karma is, yes, be very clear. The very purpose of living this life is to discover that happiness. Okay? Happiness is never, not in fractional seconds, away from you. Happiness is very you. You know, you are very happiness. You are very happiness. It's all the question of the distance between you and happiness, the distance between you and fullness, is just the ignorance. There's no distance. There's no time-wise distance, there's no spatial distance, know that? Until tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock, I'll be unhappy, morning tomorrow I'll be happy, means what? And between you and it happens some time distance, isn't it? No, once I leave Baba Bharti Vidyavan, I'll be very happy if you say that it's a spatial distance, isn't it? As long as I travel from this that time, space distance, there's no distance between you and happiness in time-wise or space-wise. Because happiness is very you. The distance only in ignorance is the distance. Isn't it? Therefore, no, when you say, anybody will think what? Okay, let me go, no. But, okay, that ignorance, removal of that ignorance, you know, this dependent on what now? Your recognition of, the regression of the Swarupam of the Atma, that they said no. The fullness has been recognized in terms of its Swarupam. In what form is fullness there? Can you go and see the fullness? You have discovered fullness means in what way, in what form will recognize fullness? Fullness has to be recognized in terms of its Swarupam. Isn't it? There is no way of understanding fullness with reference to ocean without understanding what H2O is. Understanding H2O being the truth of the wave, thereby understanding H2O being the truth of the ocean, is understanding H2O being the fullness with reference to ocean. Similarly here also, you need to know the Swarupam, isn't it? The reality in Swarupam. And for which the mind has to become really steady. The attention has to be completely taken away from the objects. No, not that easy. It needs sort of, that's why the maturity, it needs some growth. Isn't it? That's why it is, one has to initiate this emotional maturity. We really say that. That is why to live this life, that's why the whole life is lived, to prepare your mind for this vision of the happiness, fullness. To live the life, you need to do karma, but that karma, understand now, you need parishartha and karma, for which you need to do karma, but that karma, by doing how you do, makes it now contributory for your preparedness required for jnana. This way, that's what is karma yoga, isn't it? So Krishna has to teach him, yes, karma definitely will not bless you with moksha. You did not do any karma for moksha. It's the distance, just ignorance. Therefore, ignorance alone has to be dispelled. But for the removal of ignorance, to have through knowledge, you know, you need to prepare your mind for that knowledge. For which you need to do karma with proper attitude. just karma yoga. That he has to teach here. Is it clear now? I know I'm repeated because I've been seeing you for a long time. I'm helpless, okay? Because I can't proceed. I don't know where I left last time, isn't it? 2 months ago now. 2 months?
Yeah.
Almost 2 months. Okay. Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha.
Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha.
Arjuna Uvacha.
Arjuna Uvacha.
Jayasi Chet Karmanaste.
Jayasi Chet Karmanaste.
Mata Buddhir Janardana.
Mata Buddhir Janardana.
Tatkim Karmani Ghore Mam.
Tatkim Karmani Ghore Mam.
Niyojayasi Keshava. Jayasi Chet Karmanaste.
Jayasi Chet Karmanaste.
Mata Buddhir Janardana.
Mata Buddhir Janardana.
Tatkim Karmani Ghore Mam.
Tatkim Karmani Ghore Mam.
Niyojayasi
Keshava. Niyojayasi
Keshava. Gyami Shreneva Vakyena.
Gyami Shreneva Vakyena.
Gyami Shreneva Vakyena.
Gyami Shreneva Vakyena.
Buddhim Mohayasiva Me.
Buddhim Mohayasiva Me.
Tadekam vada nischitya.
Tadekam vada nischitya.
Yena shreyoham apnuyam.
Yena shreyoham apnuyam.
Tadekam.
Tadekam.
Vada nischitya.
Vada nischitya.
Yena shreyoham apnuyam.
Yena shreyoham apnuyam.
So Krishna Arjuna saying, hey Janardana, karmanaha buddhihi jayasi chet. If buddhi here is knowledge, okay? If knowledge of the reality as the self, a knowledge of the self is buddhihi here. Knowledge is jayasi, superior to action. Why? Knowledge alone will free you from bondage. But not action. That is very clear, okay? That means, Gore karmani kim maam niyojayasi, hey Keshava, why do you really involve me in such a horrible act of fighting, you know, which involves really killing, bloodshed, etc. Why do you want me to do this, you know, such a gore karma? That is his question. And he also says, may buddhim, hey Krishna, may buddhim mohayasi eva. No, I'm not saying you're really confusing. It sounds as though you're confusing. Your words are contradictory. Mohayasi eva. Kau vyamishrena eva vakyena. Vyamishram means what now? Contradictory statements. Knowledge will free you from bondage. Hey Arjuna, do your duty. Two sentences. It means what? No? You said that action will not free me from bondage. Knowledge will free you from bondage means action will not free you from bondage. But you are asking me to what? No. Do your duty. Therefore, Vyamishrena Iva Vakyena, no? Your words, may buddhi mohayasi iva. Okay? Adhe Janardana, you seem to be really confusing me with your contradictory statements. Okay? Therefore, don't tell me both. Knowledge will free you from bondage. Do your karma means don't tell me both. Okay. Ekam nischitya vada of that. Tell me only one thing. Come on, go and pursue knowledge or do your duty. Tell me of the both. Tell me to do only one thing. Don't ask me to do both. Okay. He says nischitya. Yena aham shreyaha apnuyam. By which alone apnuyam. Yena by which alone. I will attain Shreyas, Moksha. What is Shreyas? Absolute good. What is the absolute good? that which brings auspiciousness to all the people, always, everywhere. What is desirable always for all the people everywhere is Shreyas. What is it which is, or no, that's called absolute good. Isn't it? Shreyas is absolute good. There's nothing other than jnana, other than moksha. So what is that which will really, you know, which will bring auspiciousness, which will bring Shreyas to me? No, tell me only that. Knowledge or action? Don't read both, okay? Yena, ekam nishchityavad. Of those two, please decide, be definite about one thing. And tell me only one thing, which alone will bring me Shreyas, the moksha. Isn't it? That's the question asked. So Bhagavan has to answer now. We did three verses.
Shri Bhagavan uvacha
Lokesmin dvividha nishta
Pura prokta mayanagha Jnana yogena sankhyanam Karma yogena yoginam
So Bhagavan says, Bhagavan's answer must be exactly in tune with the question, isn't it? Conformity with the question. What was the question? Why do you ask me, no, confuse me with the two statements which are contradictory? And please tell me one of them which alone will bring me Shreyas. So Bhagavan says, I'm not confusing you. I mean, even now I'm saying the same thing, I'm repeating the same thing, but you understand correctly. You know that? So the answer is given. Now he wants to make himself clear. So Bhagavan says, Asmin loke dvividha nishta pura prokta maya. Maya dvividha nishta, twofold committed lifestyles have been prescribed. Now, maya have been said. Lifestyle, two lifestyles have been prescribed by me. Pura means what? Before, long ago. So it means, long ago means even from timeless Veda, timeless Shastram, it has already been revealed. And you see, when Krishna says, I say, means what? His vision is Shruti's vision. Shruti is timeless, isn't it? Shruti itself is said. Shruti is a timeless Shastram. In Shruti itself has been said what? No, always, no? Two lifestyles. Because Veda itself is what? If you say the Veda, Pravritti Karma, no? Pravritti Atmakam Shastram, Nivritti Atmakam Shastram. The first part is what? Pravritti Atmakam Shastram. The second part is what? Nivritti Atmakam Shastram. Pravritti Margaha, Nivritti Margaha. For two lifestyles. Pravritti and Nivritti Margaha. Two lifestyles. Two committed lifestyles. And not that one can be ignored. Two lifestyles have been prescribed. Dvividhanishta. Two lifestyles. No? Prokta have been said. When? By whom? By me. By me means what? As the Lord. No? He says, prescribed. And then, He Anagha. Every time Arjuna says, no, I'll incur sin, my action will bring me thing, all that is problem is there. So Krishna, really Krishna has to make him feel anagha. Agha means sin, papa. Isn't it? Papa rahitaha is what now? Anagha. I mean, when Krishna addresses you, he really means what? The individual, the truth of the individual, no, one who is there as the knower, the truth of the individual. So he says, anagha, oh sinless. Okay, hey anagha. Two lifestyles have been prescribed. Pura, maya, dvividha, nishta, asmin loke, prokta. Two lifestyles have been prescribed. What are they? Jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yoginam. Jnana yogaha is one lifestyle. Karma yogaha is another lifestyle. Isn't it? Jnana yoga, what is the synonym of jnana yogaha? Sannyasi lifestyle. What is karma yogaha? Life of karma yoga. Isn't it? Karma yogaha and jnana yogaha. These two lifestyles have been prescribed means for whom? Two lifestyles. No? Jnana yogena sankhyana. Sankhyaha means those sannyasis who are committed to the pursuit of knowledge to the exclusion of everything else. For such people, jnana yoga, the life of, jnana yoga means enquiry, self-enquiry, life of, contemplative life. Sannyasa life means contemplative life, life of contemplation, isn't it? Jnana yoga has been prescribed for sannyasis. Who is a sannyasi? Not the one who is in saffron robe, but one who has contemplative disposition of the mind. To have the contemplative disposition of the mind, again, one must be mentally pure and steady also. So one who is already mentally adequately pure and steady, there will be one who has certain meditative disposition of the mind, isn't it? For such a person, this jnana yoga has been, life of jnana yoga has been prescribed. Otherwise, the one who has yet to become mentally pure and steady, the one who has yet to prepare one's mind for contemplative, one who has yet to have the disposition of the mind, that is why meditation according to Vedanta Shastram cannot be willed. You can't will to meditate, appreciate meditate. It's a mental activity. It's a will-involved action, isn't it? I have to sit every day. I have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and sit and then meditate on something. Will or karma, that is. According to Vedanta Shastram, the actual meditation is just it's out of maturity. The mind just naturally becomes, understands the limitations of everything. Naturally, attention is taken away from the, naturally it is taken away from objects. Dispassion, the mind discovers dispassion, naturally goes out of desire for things. How we know the limitations? What are these objects? How much are I enjoy? The same. Again, it will retain you in slush. It will never really rise from there. Never allow you to rise. Because it will retain. Because the pleasure will always pull you behind. That is why it is always shown in Puranas as a crocodile. Now you are in the water. Our Puranas very beautifully described. You are in the water. And you want to come out of the water. Who comes and catches you? Crocodile. I tell you, it will not allow you to die also. Understand? But it will not allow you to go out also. You are retained. Imagine, it's a slush. Like that, world of objects have their own limitations. Of course, objects are enjoyable, okay, fine, but one day or other you have to grow out of desire for objects when you know the limitations of the objects. See, initially, as a young person, when we are growing up, born and growing up, we do not know. Shastra doesn't say, should not. It's okay, fine. Because then you are allowed to enjoy the objects. You have to enjoy it, so know the limitations of objects. Once you enjoy the objects, you know the limitations of objects, what it can do, what it cannot do, then what? Once you know the limitations, naturally grow out of desire for them. So naturally growing out of desire for objects, knowing the limitations that they cannot give me what I seek, is what? Discovering dispassion. Becoming dispassionate. Isn't it? Such a dispassionate mind will be in meditation naturally. Why? Being not distracted by anything else. Is it clear now? It's not that you really make deliberate effort to take mind away from, I don't want to see that. I don't want to eat that. I don't want to be with that. Naturally, you don't need to make efforts to take away. It's a question of how mature you are. I'm not being immature is not wrong. I'm not blaming or finding fault with being immaturity. That's what I'm saying. Being immature is natural, but how mature you are can be understood here. Now, this is just the question of being able to take away your attention from objects which bother you. You don't need to really work hard to take attention away from them. All that you need to grow out of desire for them you can't grow out of desire for them unless you have the limitations of objects. Unless you know that they cannot give you what you seek. You should be very clear, what I seek is this. This is what I am seeking, is this happiness, this fullness, no, this everlasting peace. And that is not there. They cannot, nothing can give. That is all very swarupam. It is the knowledge of self means that naturally you will grow out of desire for that. So growing out of desire for objects, knowing their limitations, that they cannot give you what you seek, is what? Discovering dispassion. Such a dispassionate mind naturally will entertain, not being distracted by objects, will have meditative disposition. Is it clear now? What do you mean by that? It's very important to know that. Such a person who has discovered dispassion, knowing the limitations, thereby who, not distracted by many things, who entertains meditative disposition of the mind, who also adequately mentally pure and steady. Dispassion itself, even to be able to see the limitations of objects, one has to be mentally pure and steady. He is worshipful, prayerful, and righteous, ethical life, clean life a person lives, really helps to see the limitations. And also experience of one. See, when you live the whole life, lot of problem, you have seen everything. Having lived for so many years, and it must have taught lessons. So in Mundaka Upanishad, there is a verse which says, Pariksha lokan karma chitan nirveda mayat brahmanaha. When a person discovers dispassion, through analyzing one's own experiences in life, one has learned from his own life's experiences what this life is all about. Such a person is really a brahmana. The mature person is a brahmana. Who is a mature person? One who discovers dispassion. How does he discover dispassion? By knowing the limitations of things. How does he know the limitations of things? But by analyzing his own life's experiences. Isn't it? That's why Vedanta also is taught for always, some experience must be there. You must have gone through some ups and downs in life. Every human being must have gone through lots of pains and pressures in life. Irrespective of whether person is rich or poor, educated or uneducated, sick or healthy. Everybody must have gone through. Everyone has one's own lot. One's own way, one's own problems, one's own image, one's own problems. Everyone. So that must have helped. So what, that way the person here, the mature person, there'll be what here now, we say jnana yogi. Jnana yogi, one who has meditative disposition of the mind. One who's taught thereby, one who knows the value of knowledge, one who's committed to the pursuit of knowledge, totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge, to the exclusion of other pursuits, is said to live a life of jnana yoga. That is for the understanding. So others are not considered inferior by Krishna. Understand now, immediately don't think others are inferior. No. Oh, jnana yogi is superior, others are inferior. It's not true. So the child who is in 8th standard, first child, second who is in 4th standard, will the parents think the first one is superior, second one is inferior? No. Isn't it? Nobody is. After 4 years, he is going to go to other class. They'll know that. Similarly, Shastri Maha does not look down upon who are not yet ready, who do not have the disposition, means Shastram expects them to grow, give some more time. So such people who are not adequately mentally pure and steady, who do not have that meditative disposition due to the distraction towards objects, because of lack of, because they're not dispassionate towards other things, still have passion because they have not understood the limitations of everything, even though what they want is moksha, they're very clear. Still, they have not yet, still they have, they do not have the disposition, means then they are advised to live a life of karma yoga. So karma, those even living a life of karma yoga, not an easy joke, is going to say that. See, living a life of karma yoga is not an easy joke. In being committed to live a life of karma yoga also is as great as living a life of jnana yoga. So like Karma Yoga lifestyle is for the one who wants to be prepared for knowledge. And Jnana Yoga lifestyle is for the one who is prepared for the knowledge. And is said to become prepared. Understand? That's our two lifestyles. So who is inferior, who is superior? No. There's no superiority, no inferiority about anybody. Isn't it? Two lifestyles. So, I'm not saying, therefore, I have said before, long ago, two lifestyles have been, now this has been said by me long ago, there are two lifestyles for people of, understand now? People of the contemplative disposition, Jnana Yoga lifestyle, and people who had to develop that disposition, for them Karma Yoga lifestyle. So they are called Sankhyaha and Karma Yoginaha. Karma Yoginaha are those who live a life of Karma Yoga. Now those who are still working for preparing their minds for, you know, knowledge. But Jnana Yoga means people who are contemplative. For them, life of Jnana Yoga is prescribed. So when I say, I do not confuse at all. Okay. Now he is going to further explain what he has said. Is it clear? Nakarmanamanarambhat Nakarmanamanarambhat Naishkarmyam purushoshnute Naishkarmyam purushoshnute Nacha sanyasana deva Nacha sanyasana deva Siddhim samadhi gacchati Siddhim samadhi gacchati Nakarmana manarambhat Nakarmanamanarambhat Naishkarmyam purushoshnute
Naishkarmyam purushoshnute
Nacha sanyasana deva
Nacha sanyasana deva
Siddhim samadhi gacchati
Siddhim samadhi gacchati
Okay. He says Purushaha naishkarmyam na ashnute. Purushaha naishkarmyam na ashnute. Say that now. Purushaha naishkarmyam na ashnute. See, ashnute literally means eats. Ashnati ashnute means eats. Okay. So, naishkarmyam na ashnute means attains. One does not attain naishkarmyam. What does the word naishkarmyam mean? Naishkarmyam is a noun. Nishkarma means adjective, actionless. Naishkarmyam means actionlessness. So actionlessness means fullness. Actionlessness is equal to limitlessness. Limitlessness is equal to fullness. Fullness is equal to awareness. Awareness is equal to the reality. Understand? So actionlessness means what? Happiness, moksha. So naishkarmyam na ashnute means what? One does not attain moksha. How do you say actionlessness is moksha? How do you say? Because actionlessness is moksha means happiness, isn't it? Moksha implies happiness. Freedom from unhappiness is happiness. So happiness implies what? Fullness. Fullness is what? Reality with reference to the universe, isn't it? So here also naishkarmyam is what? Actionlessness. Actionlessness is the nature of reality. I told you, Atma does not do any action. What action does awareness do? Isn't it? Consciousness does not do any action. Actionlessness is what now? Actionlessness or silence also you can say. Atma doesn't make any noise. Atma does not do any action. Therefore, actionlessness is the nature of reality. When you say actionless, naishkarmyam, actionlessness, it means what? It means moksha here. Actionlessness is equal to the reality, nature of the reality, awareness. So, awareness implies also what now? Happiness, fullness, which is moksha. Therefore, naishkarmyam, actionlessness implies what? Moksha only. Isn't it? Attaining actionlessness is equal to attaining the Atma in terms of knowledge, isn't it? Attaining Atma means what? Attaining fullness. Attaining fullness is what? Attaining moksha. Therefore, Purushaha Naishkaramyam Na Ashnate means what? Man does not attain moksha. How? Karmanam Anarambhat. Krishna is going to explain now. Because Arjuna asks this question. Krishna cannot be, now Krishna, really Arjuna disturbed, okay? Now Krishna has to make Arjuna thoroughly understand. So Krishna's effort to make Arjuna understand is what? His effort to make us understand. Isn't it? He says, karmana anarambhate, naishkarmyam na ashnate purushaha. Man does not attain actionlessness. Means man does not attain reality. Means man does not attain mokshaha. In terms of knowledge, understand how anarambhat, but not beginning, non-beginning of actions, but not beginning to do any action, isn't it? By giving up actions, sometimes we start, then we give up. Here, even to begin, we are scared, isn't it? So, anarambhat, not beginning to do any action, or non-performance of actions. Definitely, by not performing actions, man does not attain moksha at all. Isn't it? Oh, if you say, we don't do any action, then I don't do any, I'm a non-performer of actions. So what? I'm actionless. You can't say actionless. Actionlessness is not simply sitting without doing any action. You know, even simply sitting also is an action, isn't it? There's no, so he's going to explain later on what is action. Actionlessness is not something giving up action and remaining idle and lazy. Actionlessness is the sorupam of the Atma. So attaining actionlessness means, attaining actionlessness means attaining fullness in terms of knowledge. Attaining fullness in terms of knowledge means attaining the self in terms of knowledge. Isn't it? That is not possible if we do not do actions. So, anarambhate, so by not beginning to do any karma, one cannot attain moksha. Non-performance of actions does not help one attain moksha. Anarambhate purushaha naishkarmyam na ashnute. Okay, having started something, sanyasana teva siddhim na vindati, siddhim na samadhi gacchati. Okay, by giving up the activities also, I was very active. I used to be very active before. Now I gave up everything. People come and tell, I used to be very active before. I gave up everything. Why? I feel very. So giving up of any endeavors which you've been doing, in no way is going to bless you with success in terms of moksha. Siddhi means success. What is absolute success? Discovering moksha, discovering happiness as the very self is the absolute success. Siddhi, isn't it? Siddhim samadhi gacchati, sam adhigacchati, adhigacchati samadhi gacchati, isn't it? What attains success, this attainment of moksha in terms of knowledge is the real accomplishment, real success. That siddhi is what? Once gained will never be lost. Any other success, relative success. If anything which make you feel relatively successful, you know, that success is not a success, any more success. If it cannot help you when you are sorrowful, it can't free you your sorrow, that success is of no use. I have accomplished so much, you can say. Still, when you go through some pain and thing, all that you have accomplished, if cannot help you when you are unhappy, then that accomplishment is really, isn't it? Doesn't make any sense. That is why samadhi gacchati, why I say the absolute success gained, now attained in terms of knowledge, you know, as moksha, is what, what ultimate term moksha in terms of knowledge is what? Real attainment. Because once attained, will be always, will never be lost. That's what is siddhi. Okay? Therefore, siddhim, sannyasanadeva siddhim na samadhi gacchati. By giving up actions also, one does not attain moksha. By not beginning to do any action also, one does not attain moksha. Siddhihi means mokshaha, naishkarmyam also means mokshaha, mokshaha means happiness, happiness means fullness, fullness means reality, reality means awareness, awareness is the very self, you never attain it, you only attain it in terms of knowledge, that attainment of knowledge, understand now, it's not by whether you do the karma or do not do the karma, non-performance of actions or performance of actions or giving of actions, in no way it will help you, understand, attain moksha. Why? Karma has nothing to do with the moksha. Understand, if karma has nothing to do with moksha, then performing some karma can help you attain, or not performing karma can help you attain. Karma has nothing to do with moksha. Moksha is something to be known. If you know moksha is, you do not know moksha is not. Isn't it? Happiness is there already. If you know it is not known, it is not there. Isn't it? Therefore, it is not the karma. Therefore, whether you do karma, you can be bound. You don't do karma, still you will be bound. If you do not know what moksha is. If you know what moksha is, you do karma, you are free. You do not do karma, still you are free. Look at this. Whether you perform karma, you do not perform karma, still you are free if you know what freedom is, what moksha is, what happiness is. Isn't it? If you do not know what happiness is, whether you do karma, you do not do karma, still you are bound. Isn't it? This moksha is not attained by karma, or nothing to do with karma, as a product of action. Therefore, karmanam anarambhat purushaha naishkarmyam na ashnute. One does not attain actionlessness by not performing actions. By giving up actions also does not attain moksha, real success. Isn't it? Therefore, what he is going to say, and giving up actions does not make one a sannyasi. No? Sannyasaha means, look at it, he starts talking about sannyasa also. Sannyasaha. Nyasaha means giving up. Renunciation. Sannyasa means what? Total renunciation. No? So sannyasaha actually, what is the actual sannyasaha? Knowledge is the actual sannyasa. Know that? In knowledge, does awareness give up anything? Awareness does not renunciate anything. Know that? Does not renounce anything. Awareness does not take sannyasa. Know that? Awareness does not embrace sannyasa. Awareness, no, the reality does not, Atma does not embrace sannyasa, does not take sannyasa. Not, does not renounce, become a renunciate. So what do we mean by this then? Therefore, the real sannyasaha, renunciation only is in jnanam. What does it mean? It's called vidvat sannyasaha. Say now, vidvat sannyasaha. Vidvat sannyasaha, vidvat sannyasi means one who gives up through knowledge, to the strength of knowledge. Really, even then, there's no act of giving up. Understand now. One who renounces what? One who, see, becoming free from the notion that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, is what? Giving up all the wrong notions one has about the self. You know, I'm a sannyasi is also a notion, isn't it? I am a sannyasi also is a notion. Giving up the notion that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer is what? Really, renunciation. Giving up means that doesn't, one does not give up here. Freeing oneself from the notions one has about the self. When you say, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, what does it mean? You mean the self is the doer, self is the enjoyer. What is the self here? Self is awareness. Is awareness the doer? Awareness does anything, any action? Does awareness enjoy anything? There's no action without awareness. There's no doer without awareness. There's no doer enjoy without awareness. But awareness is not the doer, not the enjoyer. Isn't it? So if you know the self is awareness. If you say, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, when you have these are all, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, is the notions. Okay? How do you say you have that? How do we say that you have the own notions? I'm unhappy, I'm upset, I'm hurt, no, I'm guilty. When you say those expressions imply what? You are being an enjoyer. I did that, I shouldn't have done that, I did that, and I should have done this is what? No, guilt, isn't it? It's also what? No, sometimes. In terms of enjoyment, or in terms of actions, when you say, those notions are all what now? No, these are all notions. They imply that you are having notions. The notions are in the form of thoughts. These notions, not that you want to have the thoughts, please understand, any wrong notion one has about the self, has about the self, I don't say one's own self, okay? Having a wrong notion about the self is having the wrong notion about one's own self. Okay, there is no other self, and having a wrong notion about the self is what now? That's in the form of a thought. That thought also of what now? It forms part of the mind. That what is that mind? Mind forms part of the individual. Understand now? That is why you can't just scratch and take it away like a small, you know, operation. If it's something physical, now you can open and remove it, but the thought you cannot take it away. You know that? You cannot. What can you do? That is why the notion is nothing but a thought. Thought forms part of the mind. Mind forms part of the individual. Therefore, that wrong notion which is entertained in the mind forms part of the individual you. Understand now? That notion is there, but that notion is what? Erroneous notion. So that is what being, the having the thought, no? Without having it resolved, having it as a part of the individual is what now? In fact, being bound by the thought, being limited by the thought. Isn't it now? Be limited by the thought. And here, who is a jnani? Jnani is the one who has resolved his identity. That notion will be there, wrong notion, will be there as part of you. How long? As long as your eye senses rooted in the body mind complex. What do you mean by that? I know I am, you know, when your identity is with the body mind complex, it is very natural for you to have that notion also. So resolving the wrong identity, isn't it? By correcting the wrong identity, by having the right identity, is what now? Freeing oneself from the wrong notions. So who is this jnani here? Jnani is the one who has resolved his wrong identity. How? By having a right identity. By having resolved the ahankara. See, having the right identity, thereby correcting the wrong identity, resolving this wrong notion one has about the self, which is there as a part of the mind, isn't it? Not having the thought anymore. Is it what now? Resolving the thought is what now? Resolving ahankara. Understand now? What is resolving ahankara? Resolving the wrong notions one has about the self is resolving ahankara. How does the thought get resolved? By resolving the wrong identity first. How does one resolve one's wrong identity? By having right identity. How does one have right identity? By recognizing the truth of I. By recognizing what the self is. By knowing what the self is not, by knowing what the self is, by having discriminative knowledge of the self and the non-self, thereby undissolving non-self, understand the non-self being the self, understand by having the ascertained vision of the self, alone one can resolve wrong identity. recognizing the self, resolving the wrong identity, one can resolve the wrong notion one has about the self. The thought just resolves. Understand? That is why it is not something which is there, the problem, which can be operated. No anesthesia will work with the mind, isn't it? Maybe it can, we can work as some sedative. Once you wake up again, the thought also salam. That means there's permanent anesthesia you need. Should wake up at all. And that thing is, even death is not solution for that. You know that? Nothing will work. That is why this resolving these notions is what? Jnani is the one who knows, who has ascertained vision of the self, thereby who has resolved his wrong identity, who has shifted his eyesense from the body, mind, and his complex, and thereby who has resolved his wrong notion about the self, that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, all the wrong notions about the self, known the vision of the knowledge, is the one who is free from ahankara. Okay, freeing oneself from ahankara, having resolved ahankara, the vision of the atma, is what now giving up one's ahankara, isn't it? Giving up the notion that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, etc. Such a person is what now? Renunciate. Okay? He's a vidvat sannyasi. He has given up now. In knowledge, he has given up everything. What has he given up? I am the body, mind, his complex. Notion has gone. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, his notion has gone. I am mortal, notion has gone. I am a limited, that notion has gone. All the wrong notions about the self have been resolved. By whom? In whom? And he is the vidvat sannyasi. Understand? For such a person, nothing needs to be known anymore. All that has been known has served their purpose. Understand? He is a vidvat sannyasi. That is what is called naishkarmyam. Understand now? What is naishkarmyam? Jnanam, knowledge, having the ascertained vision of the nature of the self, thereby freeing oneself from the notion that I am the doer, identifying, having identity with the actionlessness, the reality is what? Attainment of naishkarmyam. Understand? So vidvat sannyasi is the one who has attained naishkarmyam. One who is free from doership and enjoyership is attained, not the one who gives up actions. The jnani, the vidvat sannyasi, may be physically active. He may be physically active, running around. He may be still talking, still doing things. Isn't it? Still, he is physically active. He has not given up physical activities. But still, he is nishkarmi. Understand now? Nishkarmi. He is still actionless person. Why? Because he has attained actionlessness. Isn't it? Being physically active, giving up the wrong notion that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, is what? Attaining attainment of naishkarmyam. Is it clear now? Everybody is naishkarmyam, moksha. Vidvat sannyasa. And then vividisha sannyasi means the one who wants to. Vividisha sannyasi means vetum icha yasya, vetum icha vividisha. Vetum Icha Vividisha. Desire to know is Vividisha. The one who follows, lives a life of sannyasa. Okay, one who takes the life of sannyasa, in order to be committed to the pursuit of knowledge, in order to know what the self is, with the being desirous of knowing what the self is. So being committed to the pursuit of knowledge, having given up other pursuits. The one who gives up other pursuits, and to the exclusion of what? The pursuit of the knowledge is said to be Vividisha Sannyasi. He has given up certain other responsibilities, other duties, other commitments. It's a deliberate choice, isn't it? Why he has given up? He has not shirked his responsibilities. And I said, no. He is free. He has freed himself from other things. Means he is totally committed to this one pursuit. So he is not given to other pursuits. He is called Vividisha Sannyasi. Okay. So here, the earlier verse talked about Vividisha Sannyasi. Those who enjoy, I said, Jnana Yoga lifestyle is prescribed for Vividisha Sannyasis. Understand? I mean, those who enjoy, entertain contemplative disposition of the mind. Those who are prepared for self-enquiry and all that. Those who had to become prepared for self-enquiry, they are advised to follow what? Life of Karma Yoga. Okay. But now Krishna says in this, a naishkarmya means actionlessness. Actionlessness is the nature of the reality. One who does not perform actions does not become an actionless person. You know, lazy person. One who does not do actions, gives up his activities, he is only action, not actionless person, but a lazy, idle person. Isn't it? So, non-performance of actions does not make one an actionless person. Or giving up of actions also really does not help one, you know, really attain the absolute success in terms of moksha. Isn't it? That's what he says. Why he says, the next he's going to explain that next verse.
Nahi kaschit kshanamapi, nahi kaschit kshanamapi. Jatutishtatya karma krite, jatutishtatya karma krite.
Right verse?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Karyate hyavashah karma, karyate hyavashah karma, sarva prakruti jair gunaih.
Sarva prakruti jair gunaih.
Nahi kaschit kshanamapi, nahi kaschit kshanamapi jatutishtatya karma krite, jatutishtatya karma krite, karyate hyavashah karma,
karyate hyavashah karma,
sarva prakruti jair gunaih,
sarva prakruti jair gunaih.
Okay, he says now, why it is not, first of all he says, non-performance of actions does not make one an actionless person. Okay? So non-performance does not help attain actionlessness. Why? Because it is impossible for one to remain physically inactive. Impossible. Even the laziest person has to at least open his mouth for somebody to put the food into his mouth. Understand? And he has to get up and go to loo and all those things. You can't help, isn't it? Even the maximum, at least, you have to attend to the natural cause. So you can't just say no to everything. So even that is why he says here, kshanamapi. Kshanam means what? This is kshanam. Know that? Fraction of second. Kshanam. Understand now? Kshanam api hi kaschit na tishtati. See, you can understand Sanskrit very easily now. Kshanam api kaschit na tishtati. Tishtati means stand literally. It means remains. Okay? Kaschit means what? Someone. Anyone. Okay? Any human being. Anybody. You know? So, none remains. Nahi, na kaschit means what? None. Someone, none. Nahi nakaschit, someone, he indeed, kshanamapi tishtati, does not remain. Okay? Kaschit kshanamapi na tishtati. None remains even for a second. What? Akarmakrute. Karmakrute means doing something. Akarmakrute means what? Without doing anything. Even for kshanamapi kaschit na kaschit. Na tishtati akarmakrite. One does not remain even for a second without doing any action. Why? It is not possible. Why it is not possible? Because, now look at it. What is it, activity, what is involved in actions now? Physical body is involved in activities. Mind is involved in functions. Isn't it? Pranas are involved in functions. Sense powers are involved in functions. Involuntary functions are constantly happening. What say do you have over your involuntary functions? What say do you have in involuntary functions? You cannot decide, come on, mind, take off now, come back and start thinking from tomorrow. You can't give off to your mind. It has to take off, okay, by itself. Whenever it decides to go, okay, fall asleep, it decides. Understand now? Mind, you have no say over your own mind. Mind is an involuntary function, isn't it? Function of mentation. Thoughts come, thoughts are there, thoughts go, thoughts come, thoughts are there, thoughts go. The constant, continuous, consistent flow of thoughts is my function of mentation, which is in waking state, isn't it? And dream again, what all you have stored there, again a project and see the dream. And for which you had to be asleep. And there even dream also goes only in deep sleep state. That is also what? Mind is involved in a function. What is a function? Falling asleep, okay? Being asleep is what now? Is part of the function of mind in you. That you, not because you want it to go to sleep, it sleeps. Sometimes people take pills also, it doesn't go. Listen now, even though sedative works sometimes. We know that, isn't it? So we talk about caffeine things keep you awake and all that. That is a problem. That's a different problem. But actually speaking, mind naturally, especially when we come to Gita class, we sleep very well also. Isn't it? It's a different sukham here. Which is not possible, isn't it? Now what I'm saying, so for the mind to fall asleep, it's a function of mental. We understand this, it's a function. You have no say over it. It's involuntary. Mind falling asleep, waking up, falling asleep, waking up is not an involuntary function. We never think about it. Mind as a function, don't we? We never think. Then, that is a different thing, okay? And apart from it, what about this, all sense powers? What say do you have over the sense powers? The mind is asleep, all sense powers also asleep. Okay, they resolve. Otherwise, and then you have no say. You can't say that eyes are open, don't see the light. Can you say that now? You have no say. You have no say over your powers. Maybe you can use your will to close your eyelids. That's all. But keeping the eyes open, you can't say, come on, don't see. You have no say. Isn't it? So see, you have no say over. So again, involuntary. Similarly, all the functions of the entire body is what all the functions, physiological functions, you have no say. Involuntary. If it is voluntary, you can always stop your breath and then turn it off, like a gas, how you turn a gas off and go to bed, and then whenever you want to turn it off, to cook again, you can do that. But you can't do that here, you have no say. So all are involuntary functions. And its involuntary functions indwell the gross body. Okay? That is why just you have no say. The whatever the mind decides, the body does. And there is hunger, there is thirst. Listen now, there are other natural needs. You have to fulfill those, so you have to be active. And the whole body and mind, the subtle and gross factors, have to grasp together. The whole individual, the organism being a material product. Please listen to me, okay? The matter is of the nature of constantly undergoing change. That is why the matter we have naturally these three qualities, sattva gunaha, rajo gunaha, tamo gunaha. What is rajo gunaha, sattva gunaha, tamo gunaha? Do you see those gunas through physical eyes? I tell you, they are not gunas, okay? Three abstract, subtle powers. Three powers. What are the three powers here? The power of knowing, the power of activity, okay? Jnana shaktihi, kriya shaktihi. Ichcha shakti goes with jnana shakti only. Then power of inertia, dravya shakti. Dravya Shakti is what? Power of inertia is said to be Tamogunaha. The power of activity is what? Rajogunaha. Power of knowledge is what? Knowing is what? Capacity to know, do, understand now. And this word inertia is said to be three powers, or in fact, they are not separable from the matter. Matter, the subtlest form is what? Three powers. Okay, three powers together being unmanifest is matter. Three powers becoming manifest is what? Matter undergoing changes. Is it very clear now? Three powers are unmanifest. When you say the stillness of water, is power of motion. Where is it now? Power of motion is unmanifest. So when power of motion is unmanifest, in what form it is? In stillness, the form of stillness. If stillness is nothing but unmanifest power of motion. With reference to water. Is it clear now? Similarly, here these three powers, the power of knowing, power of activity, the power of inertia, these three, you don't really see them. They're said to be three gunas. Understand now? So there, the powers being very natural. The powers are the nature of the matter. Understand? You can't change it. Therefore, with the powers being there, those powers, when they, because their nature, they are of the nature of undergoing changes. This physical body and subtle factors being nothing but the material products. Okay? So all these those powers which are inherent as three gunas, okay, which are part of this physical body and its complex, naturally they always impel. Understand now? That is why it's impossible for one to remain without doing any action, even for a second. Because prakriti jaihi gunaihi. Prakriti jaihi gunaihi. Prakriti jaha gunaha means what? The guna born of prakriti. What is prakriti? The matter in its original subtlest form has three powers. Three powers said to be three gunas. Prakriti jaha gunaha. Taihi prakriti jaihi gunaihi. Those three gunas which manifest as three powers which are inherent and unmanifest in the matter in original form, those gunas are there in the material products also. Okay, so these gunas are there. Therefore, these gunas being there naturally, prakriti jaihi gunaihi karma karyate. Now, you are made to do actions, okay? The body is made to act, mind is made to function, all by their gunas, by their own powers. When the powers are manifest, then naturally the powers themselves, what now? That is the nature of the powers. So they had to undergo changes, therefore, prakriti jaihi gunaihi karma avakaryate. Actions are now, in fact, actions are caused by these prakriti gunas. The three powers of the matter. Three powers of the matter means what? Let's look at this. Three powers of the matter in its original form. And I say, look at this. Waves of the ocean. Look at, remember, listen to me. When you say waves of the ocean means what? Waves of the ocean means waves constitute the ocean. Is it clear now? But for want of words, I can say what? Waves of the ocean. There are no waves of the ocean. Waves constitute the ocean. Similar powers of prakriti, when you say the gunas of prakriti means, when you say gunas constitute prakriti. Powers constitute prakriti. Powers means what? Subtlest. How? That is why it's subtler than the mind. That is why mind can never comprehend the subtleness of powers. Because mind itself is modified form of powers. Is a manifestation of power. I mean the unmanifest powers. The unmanifest power cannot be comprehended by the mind, which is a manifest power. Do you get the point what I'm saying? That is why people always said they separate three, at least as though it has some three gunas. Matter has three gunas means the big sentence, matter has three gunas. What gunas? Gunas are the names given to three powers. What are the powers? The three powers, in fact, three stranded, one string, which is Prakriti. What is Prakriti? Maya. What is Maya? Avyaktam. What is Avyaktam? Avyakritihi. What is Avyakritihi? The matter in its original form. What is the original form? The mind is the modified form. Sense powers are modified form. Body is the modified form. All that is perceived is modified form. What is the original form? You understand its original form. When I say waves are the modified form, what original form? Stillness. Understand? Here's a Prakriti. What is the original form of the matter? You have to understand its original form. Understand? You can't see how the original form would have been. Matter in its original subtlest form is what? Just the abstract power, isn't it? Just the power. One power. And that one power is what now? In fact, three stranded strings. The one power inseparably has what now? The power of knowing, power of activity, power of inertia. Jnana Shakti with Kriya Shakti. And you know, which you say Jnana Shakti, Iccha Shakti goes with together. Then Kriya Shakti and Dravya Shakti. Three powers. Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Dravya Shakti. And these three powers are given three different names as what? Gunaha. So you can't see the gunas. You only understand the power, gunas being manifest. So what are they? The powers are basically what now? Matter in its original form. Those powers being the, you know, form the very intrinsic nature of the matter. These powers undergo change, they are of the nature of undergoing. Therefore, what happens now? All that you see with the metal now, the physical body, the mind, the sense powers, the entire anatma jagat is what? Nothing but material products. Therefore, the motion, the movements, the changes taking place constantly on the part of the body-mind complex, the living thing and even the non-living thing, okay, which we had to talk to physicists about it. Okay, non-living things, in everywhere, there is a constant motion taking place, isn't it? That changes, nobody can stop. That is why all the activities, the mind is thinking, and falling asleep, and waking up, and thinking, and thoughts coming, perceptions, and then information, and all those things, and our responses, and reactions, and actions, and the desires, and this is impelling, and running around, isn't it? That's why he says, Avashaha. Avashaha means what? You have helpless, okay? Helplessly, you are chased by what? The gunas of Prakriti all the time, made to do actions. Isn't it now? Therefore, even if you think, I don't do any action, I'm sick from morning, I'm actionless. You say, breathing is also what? Even though it's a function, it's involuntary, isn't it? Happening. You can't say, I'm actionless. If you don't have identity with the Priya Prana, then it's okay, you can say. Okay? Then sitting is also what? Without moving, it's an action. Now I fall asleep. Sleep is what? Action. You can't say, there's never you are actionless. Understand now? Physically, actionlessness, physical inactivity or physical laziness, idleness should not be mistaken for actionlessness. Actionlessness is the nature of reality. The Atma does not do any action because actionlessness is the nature. But recognizing that actionlessness, the reality, as one's own Swarupam, identity, having identity is what now? Really becoming actionless, but not physically giving up actions, does not make one actionless. In fact, because it is impossible for one to remain without doing any action, even for a second. Why? Because prakriti jaha gunaha, the nature of the matter always, no, is such that all the actions are always impelled. All the actions, and now actions are caused by the what now? Gunas of prakriti. Gunas of prakriti means what? The power, inherent powers of prakriti. Okay? We'll see in details gunas next class. The prakriti and gunas we'll discuss later next, because without that I can't go ahead with the karma part. We'll analyze it's only next week mainly the matter, maya, and the gunas.
Week off.
Yeah. Next means. Only now we started again. So we'll try to see whether we can try to have. Om Purnamada Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Vasishyate Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om. Also, it's not a problem. Next class. We can make it 3:30 to 5:30 next class. We have put some talk to 5:30 in the beginning. We have 5:30 it is now and already. We can make it 5:30 to 5:30. And I said, I had doubt. 3:30 or 5:30, I don't know.
Sorry?
No, I thought the class is between 5:30 and 5:30. I didn't know it was 3 to 5. You know, we were here 3, but still.
Yeah.
I thought I can go ahead till 5:30. This is the problem with balance and that.